We continue today with what we understand is this first example of the public ministry of Jesus, a day in the life of Jesus. You remember last week that we were there in the synagogue in Capernaum, and Jesus, with these four new disciples that he'd called, Andrew, Peter, James, and John, and they were now accompanying him. And they'd gone to the synagogue in Capernaum, his new hometown, and there, as Jesus taught, he was confronted by a man with an unclean spirit, and Jesus set him free. He continues today as they leave the synagogue and go to the home of Simon and Andrew, accompanied again by James and John. And there they discover that Simon's mother-in-law is ill in bed with a fever. Jesus goes into the house. He takes her by the hand. He calls to her and invites her to stand. She's made well. Even though this goes against all of the social conventions, all of the social customs of the time, Jesus goes against these social mores in order to bring life. As a rabbi and a religious leader, Jesus should not be going into this home of another woman and taking her by the hand. He shouldn't be touching a woman, let alone a woman who is sick, and he does. He defies the social mores in order to bring new life and healing to her. And what is her response? She immediately begins to serve them. This is a beautiful sign of discipleship. So the first public action that Jesus does in the Gospel of Mark is to bring freedom and release to someone who is possessed by an evil spirit. The second is to bring freedom and release to this woman who is caught up with a fever. We hear in a homily or a sermon by St. Jerome around the year 400, and he says, of course, it's not just the physical fevers that inflict us. It's fevers such as anger. It's fevers such as depression. It's all these kinds of fevers that inflict themselves upon us. We see this also in our first reading today from the book of Job, where Job is so depressed, so thoroughly overwhelmed by the suffering that he is enduring, that he begins to lament and mourn about the whole existence of life and really questioning the possibility of living a kind of happiness and contentment in any way at all. And Jesus is here restoring and bringing new life to every kind of situation, circumstance, in order to establish the kingdom of God. As the day draws on, the day begins to darken, and we're told that sunset arrives, marking the end of this first Sabbath day. And what happens on this new day of the week, the first day of the week, Sunday? Even more people arrive, crowding around the door of the house, people bringing their sick, those with evil spirits, in order for Jesus to lay his hands upon them to bring healing and peace to them. After they have all left, then Jesus goes and takes his leave. He goes to a quiet place in order to be with God, in order to be with the Father. We're then told by way of contrast that in the middle of the night, Simon and his companions go hunting for Jesus. It's a very strong word that's used there in the Greek. They're not just simply looking, but they're questing for him, hunting for him. Why? Because the crowds have returned. People have come back in great numbers looking for Jesus, not because he's the Messiah, not because he's the one that can offer them teaching, but because he's this great curiosity. He's offering them healing and freedom and new release. And so Jesus, we note, doesn't address this new group of Simon and the others as disciples because they're not there yet. Have they, like Simon's mother-in-law, responded by serving the needs of this group of people? No, they've just gone and tried to find a solution somewhere else. The disciple should always be looking to find a solution within themselves with the power of God. So we see the contrast between Simon's mother-in-law, who immediately responded in an act of service, and Simon, who tries to find the scapegoat. This is characteristic in the Gospel of Mark. A number of women are healed and cured and are treated very favorably because they're true disciples. They're the ones who understand what Jesus is about. We're told in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Mark what the ministry of Jesus is. He tells us that the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's in Mark 10, verse 45. So here, Simon's mother-in-law is the characteristic disciple. She's understood the meaning and significance of this call to be a disciple, and she serves. Simon and the others, these companions, they're not called disciples because they haven't yet understood what discipleship is all about. And so they fail in this. And what's Jesus' response when they say, look, people are looking for you. People want to receive your healing. He says, no, if they're not going to understand why the Son of Man is here, then I cannot stay. I must continue on. I must go and proclaim the good news, the kingdom of God, in other places as well. And so he leaves. He goes to a place, not because he will find greater fame or greater encouragement, but because he knows this need to continue moving, continue proclaiming. So often in our lives, we feel this sense of compulsion because people say, I need you to do this. I want you to be here, to be this person for me. Sometimes we need to understand what Jesus teaches us here, that no, there are times when we need to say no to a good thing in order to embrace an even better thing, something that the kingdom of God is greatly in need of within our own lives and within our own ministry. What are the things that we uniquely are able to do? And what's this call of discipleship that's placed upon our hearts to serve, to give our lives in service, to continue on the move in order that the gospel and the kingdom of God might be proclaimed in new situations and new events? Let's indeed ponder what that new thing might be, where the Lord might be calling us and inviting us to leave behind the ordinary, to leave behind the known, and to go off into the unknown in order that the kingdom of God might be proclaimed and lived in our own lives today. Amen.